Okay, we're on page Nun Beis, Shabbos Malkasa, talking about the concept of all your sins that can be forgiven on Shabbos, if one comes to the understanding that there is no existence other than God, and all existence is on loan from God, and is only the physical manifestation of the will of God, so how could one do anything against the will of God? And if you think about that, when you say Vayichulu, it has the potential to forgive all your sins. So on Gimel, on page Nun Beis. V'chein, and also, Mashi Sbar Le'el, B'ma Shreine Shabbos Mikol HaMoedim, and that also which we explained earlier, how Shabbos is different than every other Yom Tov. Same concept. Shekol HaMoedim Yesh B'm Givun Miyuchad Shal Kedusha V'avoda V'kiya Mitzvahs. Because all the holidays, they have one unique color, literally the word givun is a color, but one angle towards Kedusha and service to Hashem and fulfillment of mitzvahs. Every holiday has its unique aspect. Kolechad kvi in yonam yuchadlo, everyone according to its unique concept. That's one aspect of holiness. Avol Shabbos ain't like Shavuos. Shavuos is going to be the aspect of success in Torah learning, which is one aspect of our service to Hashem. Well, that's great. Avol Shabbos ain't le'ezah mal matrega shezoch ela, but Shabbos doesn't have any one particular level that one can merit. But rather, it's the revelation of Hashem's holiness in the world. That's everything. Right? Shabbos tells us there's no other will but Hashem. So that is the totality of everything. Holidays, are, and all holidays, every aspect of every holiday is just an outgrowth, a detail coming out of that general rule. Now it is understood. Because since Shabbos is the revelation of the creator of the world, and therefore Shabbos is a revelation literally of Hashem, that there's nothing else but Him. That is the reality of Shabbos, that is revealed in this world, the concept of there is no other but Him. So that's why Shabbos is a totality, while the other holidays are just a detail. And now he explains the last point. Now you understand why Shabbos is not a day we put tefillin on. What purpose is there to tie the oneness of Hashem to your head and the oneness of Hashem to your arm when the whole reality of the day is surrounded by the oneness of Hashem? The reason you're putting on tefillin every day is to remind you, you have the Shema Yisrael and the other aspects that talk about how Hashem is one. Okay, so it's reminding my hand to act this way. It's reminding my mind to think this way. That's good, and that's what it's there to remind you. But Shabbos, you're enveloped within the day of that reality. So if you're enveloped within that day, what do you need any reminders for? K'moshe Amar Chazal, as our rabbis have said, HaShabbos hi atzmo os. Shabbos itself is a sign. Remember, tefillin is called an os. Circumcision is called a sign. Circumcision is called a sign. And Shabbos is called a sign. And you have to have, it's called a witness also. So you have to have two witnesses every day. So circumcision is always. So the other witness, the other sign is tefillin. But when Shabbos is the sign, there's no need for tefillin. It's just superfluous to put tefillin on Shabbos when the whole day of Shabbos talks about this. Ulechein, and therefore, Gam ein tzarech b'Shabbos b'mitzvah miyuchedes k'mo matzah shofar. And therefore, Shabbos doesn't have any special mitzvah. There's no special mitzvah of Shabbos. You don't do anything on Shabbos. There's no special mitzvah. You don't blow a shofar, eat matzah, nothing. Shumaos on mitzvahs heim laharbis akdusha v'tekes. Because normally, with mitzvahs, what is the essence of mitzvahs? Is to increase holiness and the ability to attach to Hashem. But if it's Shabbos, but on Shabbos, Hashemayim atzvah misabim kvod kel. On Shabbos, the heavens themselves are talking about the greatness of Hashem. And the earth and everything that's in it turns over to holiness, and as it were, the world becomes the mitzvah object. What do I need to take a shofar and blow the shofar on Shabbos? The whole world is reflecting this connection to Hashem. The essence of the day is connection to Hashem. The day is that. So what do you need anything else? What do you need any tools? That's what the earlier rabbi said. Shabbos is a day where the worlds are elevated. That the world itself is elevated to a higher lofty plane. To become a chariot to carry the holiness of God. It all comes from this point of the revelation of the newness of the world, that the world exists only by God's will. Then we realize that the whole essence of the world is the will of Hashem. There is no other mitzvahs. So this explains so many concepts of Shabbos now become, revealed, that if the whole aspect is for us to do nothing on Shabbos and to only act according to the will of Hashem on Shabbos, that promotes this concept of this reality that there is no will at all except God's will. And that is the closest way you can get to Hashem. You don't need any other side things. Talis is different. Talis is to show us that we are carrying Hashem's strength. It's not an oath. It's not the same thing as tefillin. It's not reminding us of the oneness of Hashem. It's telling us that we have the power to accomplish whatever we want to accomplish. That's what talis is all about. You have the power to accomplish everything possible. You're a messenger of Hashem. And that you need every day to know that you're a messenger of Hashem. Every day you need to know that. So now we understand why Shavuos, you see, is very much connected to Shabbos. Because Shavuos, really there's no special mitzvahs for Shavuos either. I mean, cheesecake doesn't count. It's not a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. It's just a custom. It's not a mitzvah. There's no real mitzvahs for Shavuos because Shavuos was given on Shabbos. Same thing. So that's why there's a lot. Although the focus is Torah. The focus is Torah. There's no question about it. But it approximates more. It's the end of the 7 weeks. Same idea. You're counting 7 weeks. Seven sevens. So that's Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos. Seven full Shabboses. So it's an expression. So certain days smack of Shabbos. And this has to. If it's seven full weeks, you've got Malchus Sheba Malchus. The royalty of royalty. So it only makes sense that is going to pack a punch very much like Shabbos. Right? So therefore, same thing. Same idea with Yom Kippur. So there's certain days that are very similar in kind. And you'll notice there isn't a lot to those days in terms of external mitzvah objects. Okay, Perek Gimel is an unbelievably great Perek. Oh, it gets better every chapter, but this is like unbelievable. After he goes through the first couple pages just to lay down the point, then he mamish takes off. He's going to mamish explain the idea. The question always bothers people, why we're not allowed to take revenge, but God is allowed to take revenge. Where the Torah says God is a vengeful God, but we're not allowed to take revenge. So why is it different? He explains it so beautifully. So let's get right to it. I don't know if we'll finish it all today, but by tomorrow we certainly will. Perek Gimel, Moira Shabbos. The fear, the awe that a person is supposed to have on Shabbos. There's a concept of having awe on Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh Matzanu Inyan Moira Mina Shabbos. There's a concept on Shabbos that we have to have Moira, fear, awe from the Shabbos. Omer Chazal, the rabbis give us an example. This example is discussing, for example, their different quality of Jews and ignorant Jews that are called Amoratzim. Quite often you couldn't trust them that they would do the proper tithing on their crops. And if you buy crops from certain people, if they weren't, learned Jews, you could suspect that they perhaps would not tithe their crops. And even if you asked them, they could lie. So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says the following. Amoretz Nemon al HaMaisr B'Shabbos. And Amoretz is believed for what he says about Maisr on Shabbos. Why? that even though they're not the highest quality Jews, but she'ein achashed l'shaker b'Shabbos, but we never would suspect an Amoritz to lie on Shabbos. Why? Because Amos Shabbos Allah, the fear of Shabbos is upon them. Okay, I mean, I don't know if we could say that now, but in the times of Gomorrah, I mean, even a guy would be dishonest in business, on Shabbos he wouldn't lie. If he asked a guy, was this tithe? On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he'll lie, but on Shabbos he won't lie. Why? Because he's afraid of lying on Shabbos. Yeah, you go over his house, he invites you for lunch, and you say, did you tithe your crops? I can't eat in your house if you didn't tithe your crops. Right? You know, someone invites you for after shul to eat dinner, to eat lunch, and you know, it's Mr. Amoritz. Mr. Amoritz, did you tithe these crops? He's going to tell the truth on Shabbos. Right? What's going on? Vishitas HaYireim, the Yireim is one of the early commentaries. He Shemayra Shabbos a mitzvah in the Torah. He says that awe of Shabbos is a mitzvah of the Torah. How do we know this? Mimad Dichsiv, it says, as Shabbos Osai Tishmoru, Umiktoshai Tiro. Simple meaning is, you should keep my Shabboses, and you should be in fear and awe of my temple. So the Yireim says, Tiro Koyal Altirayu. The last word of the Pasuk, Tiro, goes on both Pesukim. Both concepts. Shabsoi, my Shabbos is Tishmer, should watch. And not only that, but Umiktashai, my temple, Tiro, you should be in awe of my temple and the Shabbos. So we see, Gam Meiris Shabbos, in this aspect of awe of Shabbos, Lomina Shabbos, that told me, so you're not afraid of the Shabbos. El Mimisha Hizrael Shabbos, but rather to the one who warns you to keep the Shabbos you're afraid of. Remember, Shabbos is that gateway to appreciating Hashem. Hashem's reality is so much clearer on this day, you're going to be in much more awe of Hashem. The Tzarech Bir, now we have to explain. Maha miyuchad b'Shabbos b'inin Yerushalayim yosher b'kol mitzvos. What is there about Shabbos that brings out Yerushalayim more than other mitzvos? So I think that becomes obvious after what we know so far. Hinei nisbar shumaos ha-Shabbos, yishe ha-Shabbos mer al-chidush olam. We've already explained that the essence of Shabbos is that Shabbos teaches us about the concept of the renewal of the world that came from nothing. Now, if you're going to know that, and that everything exists by its word, then a new principle has to emerge. It says in the book of Eov, Yadati ki kol tuchal, v'lo yibotzer mimcha mizimo. I know, Job said, that you are all-powerful, God, and there's nothing that you want that isn't going to happen. So now we see a new concept. V'zeh yisod ha'muna. This is a fundamental principle in belief in Hashem. She'Hashem yisbaruch hu kol yachol. That Hashem is the kol yachol, the all-powerful, the all-capable. Sometimes people refer to God as the kol yachol, the one who can do it all. What does that mean? V'nei ha'olam kula hu mechitza ha'misateres es yichud yisbaruch v'otz moso. When we look at this physical world, it really acts as a barrier that hides this unique power that Hashem really has. It hides the essence of Hashem. You look around this world, you don't really see Hashem. You see things seemingly working independently of Hashem. Not only is it a barrier, but it's specifically a barrier from our comprehension that God is all capable. Shekol metzias ha'olam because you think about it, the whole essence of this world's reality is predicated and built on the fundamental principle of limitation. Everything is limited in this world. Ulamashul, for example, a shulchan, a table. This table is limited. It's not infinite. V'mispashet yoser, I'm sorry, im yifrot says gvuloso v'mispashet. If you take its boundaries and spread them out more, take this table and stretch it ad infinitum. What's going to happen? Yisbatum liyo shulchan. It's not going to be a table anymore. It'll be a house. It'll be a covering. Stretch it high and across. It's not a table anymore. Yisbashet yoser. If you make it even, stretch it more. Yehi rakiya shemayim. It goes to heavens. Shekol mahuso hu mikoach hamidos hamugbolos hamagdiros oso. The whole essence of the table is the measurements that limit and define what it is. We could go, right, so everything has a limitation to it. We could go on gvul asman v'mokam, and similarly, we talk about the boundaries of time and place. She'achshav, that now, 6:30, hu'achshav is now, v'lo mokam, but not tomorrow. There's a boundary as to the time. Today is today, it's not tomorrow. You can't even encroach into tomorrow. V'machar ein hayom, and tomorrow is not today or yesterday. V'kan u'kan, and here is here, v'lo shem, and not there. We are bound, everything is bound by limitations in this world. Everything has a limitation. V'misbat l'gvulos elu, and these limitations would be nullified. Shishgamas ha'machar hayom, that tomorrow could be part of today. V'sayom machar, today could be part of tomorrow. U'kadayim, and similarly, yisbat l'gvulos elu, and there'll be chaos in the world. Imagine if tomorrow would also be today. And I'd be learning a different piece of Torah with you at the same time as today, or becoming a two in a row. It'd be chaos if this table would stretch. You know, and some things that are here will be over there. Total chaos. So what do we see from all this? V'nid malanus, it appears to us, sheseder zehu metzias muchracha shalon tenas l'shinui. This order and these defined borders of existence is a reality that can never be altered. Because we can't imagine it being any different. And therefore, everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be with its borders. Similarly, let's say an object that its space takes up 3 amos, 4.5 feet. Exactly, let's say this table. Yachol hikanais l'toch shetach shel 4 amos. I can tell you that this table, if I'm going to say it's 3 amos, I can move it and fit it into a space that has 4 amos that I could do, that I know. Turning the page. V'lo arba l'toch shalosh, but if this was a table of 4 amos, it couldn't go into one that had 3. There's certain limitations. If this table would be too wide, it could not go through that door. No way. No one could go through that door. Al zeh bonei kol metzias ha'olam. This is the whole reality of the world is predicated on this. Shekol chefetz ikar metziyosu v'agdorosu umikorach hagvulos shehuk betzulah. That all the, every object, its main reality is its defined borders, its definition comes from the limitations that have been established for it. That's how we understand reality. And it, that can never change, can it? Amnam kol zehu inyan choshech, amachas elo emes anei ra. But this is all darkness that covers up the awesome truth. Shabemes HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol yachol. That God is almighty and all powerful. There's no limitation to his ability. We've seen miracles in this world that show us this. And the most unique one is that a smaller area was able to contain a larger area. And we know there's many stories in the Torah about this. Kagon, for example. Shekol Beis Yisrael nichnesu ben shnei badei ha'aron. The ark had 2 poles. How wide was the ark? 1.5 cubits? 2.5 cubits? How much could it be already? 4 feet. So a 4-foot box, wide box, has 2 poles. Here's the poles. Okay? This is the space. And on more than one occasion, the entire 3 million Jewish people fit in between these 2 poles. No. Right? How far do the poles go? 2 feet? They fit within the whole poles. Okay? They all fit there. Go explain it. But that's what the rabbi says. How about the Beis HaMikdash? Now, you know the Temple Mount. It ain't that big. Right? 3, 4, 5 million Jews would go to the Temple Mount. Right? And omdim tzvufim, they'd stand up, umishtachavim, and when they bow down, revachim, there's lots of space. Nobody went into anybody. What about the Ark itself? The Ark itself, the dimensions of the Ark were wider than the dimensions of the Holiest of Holies. And they fit into that place. How does that happen? The point of those miracles show that the limitations of nature can be totally broken. And it teaches us that that which appears to us is to be a reality that can never be changed. The reality of time and space. There's certain laws of physics that tell us that you only can put so much into so much space and not more. Shabemis, the truth is, Hu biyada Kadosh Baruch Hu, kechomer biyada Yotzer, it's all in God's hands, like clay in the hands of a potter. Birtzoso Marchiv, if he wants to make the pot wider, he makes it wider. Birtzoso Makatz, wants to make it narrower, he makes it narrower. Umemele Yeshkan Hayroa Al Shu Kol Yochel, and that shows us that he is all powerful. Right? Shim Kvar Evshar Lifrotz Eskvulas Ateva. Because if it's possible, now if it's possible to break through these borders of nature, there's nothing that God can't do. Why do we say there's impossible things? Why do we say things are impossible? Because that's the way nature is. But if the laws of nature are able to be broken, then you can do anything you want. Once you defy basic physics, then anything can happen. Right? So God did a few times, just to let you know, just want you to know, I fit all of you in between this little space. How did that happen? Well, you know, because I am the owner of the laws of physics. Yeah?
We said a while back that Hashem would not bend any of the physical rules of this world to prove to us that he exists or he doesn't exist. So how come suddenly we say yes, it's possible to do so?
First of all, he doesn't do that often. But he'll do it once in a while. He has to do it once in a while to remind us. And when he forged us as a nation, he did it. But there were times to see this. Well, splitting the sea, not so much, because that you could say it was, you know, a phenomena. It's a phenomena. You know, you took nature and you didn't change the rules of nature. You kind of switched around. You didn't put more water in less space. Okay, but you know, no, it wasn't going against gravity. It was just stopped. It stopped. You know, but I still was keeping things within the physics. But here, when I'm fitting more into less space, that is totally breaks the laws of physics. Totally breaks the laws of physics. Right, you know, they could say, you know, all these secular people give these things. The earth gave a wobble, and the conditions were just right that the water could split. Whatever, okay, you know, whatever. But if you put more space into less space like that, forget it. That's totally beyond any understanding, right? If I could take this table and take it widthwise and get it through this door. You know, that'd be unbelievable, right? Now let's move on. We gotta get this idea. He didn't finish the idea yet. V'imnavel nachkar, but if we will further investigate, ma'u b'diuk hakoach hamira al kol yachol she'en gvul yichol to yisbarach. If we can further investigate, what is specifically this power that shows he's all capable and there are no boundaries to his ability? Where does this come from? It comes from the fact that he created the world something from nothing. How can this happen, that he can change the laws of physics? The answer is because he made the laws of physics. When you make the laws of physics, then it can break the laws of physics. When you create something from nothing, there was nothing there, it means there was no laws of physics. And if you create the laws of physics, then you can undo the laws of physics. That's the only explanation that could say that you can change the laws of physics. You can't change them because they're unchangeable laws, right? Nobody can defy the laws of physics except the one who created the laws of physics. Now that we see that God is able to do new things, that teaches us about the total infinite capabilities he has. Okay, so now that we understand this idea, so now he's going to get to the awe. We're going to get to the awe now. Vasiba pshuta, and the simple reason, shimtachkar al masa godolvanar. If you think about a big, awesome activity, imev shalaso, so if you're able to do it, kigon lahachni says, kol olam l'toch kuf sakatana. Let's say if you can take the whole world and put it in a little box. Haretomer, halos debilitiv. You know, if you're going to ask somebody, can you do that? Can we take the whole world and put it in a little box? You're going to say it's impossible. Impossible. Let's think about it. What's so hard about doing it? Why should it be so hard to put the whole world in a box? What's going to be your answer? Because that goes against reality. You can't do it. It goes against reality. Yeah, Leonard?
This idea, it doesn't seem to me like it's against reality. It's against, it's more like the Jewish people had so much power in there that they were actually going above nature, which was non-reality.
Not that it's non-reality, it's the source of reality. Well, you know, let's just finish up the. That's what he's going to say. Let's just finish the paragraph. He's going to say this. He's going to say this. So, can I put the whole world into this cup? You can't. It's a physical impossibility. Okay. But tell me, can you define what reality is? What is it? Klal chukei hateva, the general rules of the order of nature. That's what reality is. Okay. Well, moving on, and it's very clear. Shekvar mitamid. So, as far as we know, there's been a rule that you can't get a lot of volume into a little bit of space. But if you now add a new factor, and that is the power of making something from nothing, the power to make something new from something that was totally not there. If that's the case, there's no such thing that can be said is against reality. Because why? Let's make a new Metzias. Let's make a new reality. If I can make a new reality, there's nothing to say that anything is impossible. Because whatever is right now, you're going to tell me is the opposite of reality? Putting everything into this cup is the opposite of reality? So guess what? Let's change the reality. That's all. That's all you got to do. This attribute of making something new was the revealed the infinite capabilities of God. That's the whole point. Reality is only reality as long as God lets it be the reality. If he doesn't like that reality, he just changes it. Well, that can't happen. That can never happen. What do you mean it can never happen? It can happen because God can just change it. If that's reality, reality will just change. That's all. We got to get the Jews out of Egypt. Just change the reality. That's all. We'll find a way. It's not hard because he's the one who's got it all. It's all happening by his will anyway. All right? Yeah?
A simpler sense. Isn't that what we realize every time something new changes in reality? I mean, there was no minute mile, and then there was a minute mile. So like, a minute mile becomes a new reality in anything. So
yeah, but that's all within the framework of reality still.
Sure.
But there's no way a person could run a 10-second mile. Yeah, but you ask anybody. But I'm saying, but you ask anybody. It's not physically possible to run that fast. No, it can never be. It could never. No matter what, you couldn't do it in 10 seconds. In 1 second, you couldn't do it. You could not run in 1 second. Could not run. It'll never happen. It can't happen.
We
couldn't do it because we didn't have the technology to do it.
Right.
But now if you have the tech, but having the technology doesn't mean you changed nature. I know if I could find a way to get a giant rubber band to shoot me up there, I could do it. So they did. It was called fuel. Right? It didn't change, all that worked within the rules of physics. It didn't defy the rules of physics. It's simpler, but that's not what we're describing here. Everything you're describing is working within the rules of physics. Even running a quicker mile is within the rules of physics because we've trained the muscles to be a little faster. We give them steroids and we do this and that. It all works within nature. All right? But one thing's for sure, there's no such thing as making a person fly. That does not work in nature without any assistance. Without any other assistance, it cannot be. It'll never be unless God wants it to be. You see, those are the differences that God makes, right? For you to be here, and the next second you're there. How's that happen? Without anything else. You were here, and now you were there. Right? That can only happen if you're changing the physics of reality. That's what God's doing. It's not just making an improvement of this world, finding other things to use to make it work out. He is changing the reality. And you see, this becomes a whole new way of looking at life. And that's why the Jewish people have endured. Because God, from time to time, pulls these little tricks out of his hat, conveniently for the Jews to survive. You get all these stories, you know, where does Eliyahu Novi come from? All of a sudden somebody comes and then they're gone. Right? How do you explain that? He was here, he's gone. It's not that he walked away, he vanished. Okay? Those things defy reality. Defy the laws of physics. Yeah? It doesn't matter. It's a question of semantics now. That's all. The law of physics depends on one thing: God's will. So God's overall will is that the world should always function through the laws of physics that he created. Okay, he created. So to tomorrow he's going to say, you know, today I want to take a little break from the laws of physics for an urgent matter, and I will change the laws of physics. You want to say it's above. It's all the same concepts. When you're dealing at the root system, the root of it all is Hashem, so that the main power source says, I want to change the way I want it to be. I want to change the way I want it to be. That's all. I want tables to fly now. That's all. So I just plug in my energy. My divine will is that tables should fly. That's all. Because how's it staying in place as it is? Because Hashem wills it this way. So Hashem will will it differently. Generally, he likes the will things to stay in the steady, constant way of physics. Right? Generally, that's the way he wants it to be. And every day he wills it that way. But if he needs to change it, he'll change it without any difficulty. If God wanted him to do it, he could do it. That's the idea of the Kfitza Saderech of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov would harness his horses, you know, and they would go. And within hours, he's in a different place. That would mamish have taken weeks. Yeah, he's just in a different place. That's it. How does he do that? God just puts him in that different place. That's all. That's all. Okay, let's move on. Now, how do we get the awe of God? Umiyata misbar inyan mora hamiyuch l'shabbos. Now it can be explained, this unique aspect of awe of God. Mikivin shashabbos mara al chidush olam. Since Shabbos teaches us about chidush olam, the world coming anew from nothing. Once we know that, memela himara alein sofia shel koach mitzad abar. That shows us the infinite power of the Creator. Right? Because if it was the way it wasn't, the way Aristotle said it was, if it was that God took a world that already existed, here was the world that existed side by side with Hashem, and Hashem just took the raw mass and shifted and changed it, but the world was as old as God is, if that was what we had, then you could maybe not be so sure. Maybe its power is limited to a certain degree. Of Hakol Mechudish, but if everything that he dealt with was never around before, Meha Efes Gomer, that came from Tol, if there was no world and he made that world, next page, Imosa Koch Kfar Yochel Lechadish Kohen Vchena, if that power can create something out of nothing and things like that, Sheena Meshubit Leshub Mitzias, and he isn't subservient to any reality, Elo Mechadish, he's the creator. Therefore, there's no limitation to his awesome power. The only limitation to Rak L'Mashakai Machshav that exists now. But there's no limitation to what he can create. Comes out. When we accept the Shabbos Kodesh, and we accept God coming into our world in a bigger way on the Shabbos, we see and we understand, therefore, we understand what it means, the idea of God's power in the world. It's a koach ein sofi belushum kvulunira. It's an infinite power with no limitations. Kol yochel gomer, a total kol yochel, a total all-powerful. Shekolot sama ein sofi shetuchel lachshov uledamyen kvar efshel yisbarach lecharish lasas kach. That the all power, the infinite power, that you could think about and imagine about, for God to renew such thing and do this, that brings an awesome, awesome fear that's unbelievable. That's what we call mora, awesomeness. You're in the presence of an awesome being, who could turn everything up on its head. When you're in such a presence, right? Let's say you're in front of the atom bomb. You know, that's very sensitive. It could blow up at any second. You're going to have you're going to be in big fear of that bomb. One wrong step and you're blown up to smithereens. Right? Guess what? You're now in God's presence. He can do whatever he wants with you. Whatever, the impossible is possible. So now that blows you away. That you're in awe of that. That's more than a sunshine. It's more than a sunrise. As awesome as the sunrise is, you know what? God can make the sun set at 6 o'clock in the morning if he wants to. There's no problem. And the mere knowledge that he could do that is awesome. And that's you're overwhelmed by that awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what comes on Shabbos. So if you realize you get all that, you're going to start to lie on Shabbos? You're going to start doing things that God doesn't want you to do on Shabbos? You know what he's going to do to you? You know what he's going to do to you if you don't do what you're supposed to do, man? There's no limitation. You know, everything was the way it is, and all of a sudden the next day it ain't. You know, all of a sudden everything's different. Unbelievable. Yeah?
When you see the concept of Hashem makes something from nothing, then there really is no concept of nothing, because everything is Hashem. There isn't any concept of nothing.
There's no concept of anything.
There's the only concept of Hashem.
So that's right.
So there's no making something of nothing, because there was never nothing. There was always Hashem. Just a different
Hashem is creating facades and realities. That's all he's creating.
He just reveals a different form of himself.
It's not a form of himself. We don't want to say a form of himself. A form of his power. A form of his will, not of himself.
Yeah. If you're saying creating, it means if you take from nothing. But there is no nothing, because everything is him.
But God can make something from nothing.
But then what's the nothing? That means there's something that's besides it's not God.
No.
It could be something that's outside of God.
Okay, that is what only God can do. That's what makes God God.
So is there a
separate? You couldn't do it. No, there isn't.
So the quote opposite. If there's an identity,
doesn't
of
it
God,
doesn't? Okay, that's we're not going to get. That's the whole idea of Tzimtzum, and we're not going to get into all that Kabbalistic stuff. Like, you know, that Kabbalistic. That's the whole idea of Tzimtzum and this and that and all these other things. But you cannot tell me this table is God. This table is not God. It's the manifestation of his power. And it really has no existence. We just think it exists. And he's doing a heck of a job of making it look real. Right? A really unbelievable job of making it look real. But really, it's not here at all. In the true essence of reality, from the creator's perspective, this isn't even here. It's nothing. It's a mirage. There's no reality at all. And therefore, it's no contradiction to God. That's what it is. Everything is God. Everything is God. This is just within this godliness. There's a mirage that there seems to be a whole existence of reality, but it's not. It's all sheker v'chazur. Hakol hevel. Everything is nothing. Everything is nothing. Okay, there's a nice little footnote at the bottom. So the best is going to be for tomorrow, but we're setting it all up here. He just says at the bottom an interesting footnote that's worthwhile to know. Midas achidush. This attribute of chidush, making something new, nikreis es kadmoni midas chokhmah, is called by the early Kabbalists the attribute of chokhmah, from the three higher spheros, keser, chokhmah, bina, is chokhmah. Kolashna pasuk, as the pasuk says, v'hachokhmah me'ayin timtza, and wisdom, from where do you find it? But ayin also means from nothing. It's found from nothing. Shachachma hi amotzia yesh me'ayin. Wisdom is bringing something from nothing. That's really what it is. Valzek siv, and that's what it writes in Tehillim. Kulam b'chachma sisa, the whole world, everything you made with chachma. Shachol mechudish menisbrach, because everything that came new came from Hashem, and it came with chachma. V'remes l'kach b'olamo, and I'll give you a hint to this, you see this in this world. Shekol chidush, any new thing. Tchilas hischadshu sohu b'seichel. Anything that's new in this world comes from the intellect. Whatever. This little tape recorder is in front of me. This didn't exist 10 years ago. Didn't exist at all. But in someone's mind, it did exist. Someone's mind, it existed. Right? So anything that's newly made there had to be a new concept in the intellect. In the realm of making it, that's not new anymore. Because it's not new, because I already have in my mind what I want to build. He thought about it before in his intellect. Newness is only really in the realm of thought. That's when it becomes new. Only in the thinking area is the power of renewal, making something new. Right? So that idea pops in your mind. You know, the idea to record voices. Somebody had to come up with that idea first. Where'd that come from? Just thought of it. Right? My mind created a concept. This is on our level, to record a voice. Can you imagine 800 years ago, did anybody think about that? They thought about it. But as technology grew, people were able to begin to think and explore areas they couldn't think about. So we could record a voice. At that point, that's when the concept was new. Making this wasn't new anymore, because it's only referring back to the old thought. Okay, that's why Chachma and Chidush go hand in hand. We say there's nothing new under the sun. Aval b'Torah, Shilamalan and Shemesh, that's above the sun, because that came before the world. Yesh Chadash, there is new things, which is Hainu Chidushei Torah, Nun Torah Novel Insights. That is new. You look at anything physical in this world, there's nothing new under the sun. It's just taking different particles, elements, and putting them together in a different way. That's all. This tape recorder was here thousands of years ago. It just took a different form. That's all. But there's nothing new about this tape recorder. But a chiddush of Torah, a new insight into Torah, a new way of understanding something. Shechidushei Torah heim b'machshava, new insights of Torah, that is in the realm of thought. V'alkein, amru chazal, and therefore you could think of an idea of Torah that nobody else ever thought about. And that really is, that's what the Holy Shavuos is all about too. The Holy Shavuos, you have the capability of accessing the source for you to create newness in Torah. That's part of what Kabbalah Satorah is. When the Jewish people accepted the Torah, every Jew accepted upon himself that he will have his own special portion of Torah. And if every Jew really works hard at Torah, you could add something to Jewish understanding. We're not going to talk about the fundamental beliefs, but talking about, you know, understand a pasuk differently in a new way that's totally correct. Because there's so many ways to understand the Torah. And everyone has that power of chidush. And that's why it's so special, that power of chidush. Which really, if you look at the Mefarshim, they say that's also what Shabbos can give you. Shabbos, you can get your best insights of Torah on Shabbos. Why? Because first you review. When you review and review and review and review and you review, and then all of a sudden things have to make sense and have to be put together, and you see contradictions in everything. If you don't review, I learned today, doesn't connect to yesterday, doesn't connect to tomorrow. Today is nice, tomorrow is nice, the next day is nice. I don't connect this, I don't see any contradictions. But if you learn long enough, say, hey, Rabbi, 6 months ago you said that. It's exactly opposite of what you said now. Forcing me to give an answer, forcing me to think it through, forcing me to come up with a new insight. And now we created a new concept in Torah. God gives all human beings the ability to take that which is in Torah and to create new concepts, new understandings of Torah. Not new laws, but new understanding of Torah. You know, yes, well, how come if the law of guys learning the Rambam, how come the law of making a pattern is one way and alternate days is another way, and I got to give you a reason why that's so. You know, that's a new concept we're bringing out. There are new concepts you can bring out. And that's why Shabbos also is a day of Chidushei Torah, is a day to bring up new Torah. That was the whole Torah was new for us. I got to just finish this. I'm running out of time. V'alkein Amar Chazal, a rabbi say, B'sisrei Torah, in the hidden Torah, in Kabbalah, Ein Sof, Hislabesh b'chachma ubar alma. The infinite being enclothed himself in wisdom and created the world. V'advarim soris ha-Torah, and these are words of mystical parts of the Torah. That's beyond us. Avol remez l'fi arkeinu, but a little hint according to our low level of understanding. So de koach ha-chachma, hainu koach ha-chidush. Through the power of chachma, that comes the power of doing things that are new. Hiskala koach ha'ein sof. We reveal the power of the infinite being. Kamo shekasam, as he wrote, shalidei achidush muchuch ha'ein sofius. Through the chidush, through the power of something that's new, we know that there is an infinite creator. Okay. Tomorrow we'll move on to Beis, and we will get on to revenge. And see how that's so beautifully explained. I hope we can get as much in as possible tomorrow.